Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua, chapter 4. I was thinking while they were singing, a good place to be is in Christ, and then to be in God's hand. Can you imagine us in Christ and in the hand of God? That's pretty secure. It's a good place to be. Amen? And let's stand together if you're in the building with me, and let's pray together, read the scriptures together from Joshua. Let me get my ear and eyes turned up a little bit. When you get old, you have problems. There's four signs, or three signs, they tell me, of getting old. One is repeating yourself, and one is repeating yourself, and one is repeating yourself. The second one is forgetfulness. And the third one is, I can't remember what the third one is. You ever been there yet? If you have not been, you will be before long. I want to preach today for a few minutes, and then we have some things we'll share with you before we go off the air, the Lord willing, with our live stream and with the service. I want to title the message, Remember, Don't Forget. Remember, Don't Forget. If you've been in church here any length of time in the last few weeks, we've been talking about the book of Joshua and how the Israelites were going to go through the Jordan River and get to the other side. And on the other side was to be the land of Canaan, which was a type of the victorious Christian life. They come up out of Egypt, covered by the blood, there into Passover. And now they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness until those of unbelief died. And now Moses is dead. Joshua is leading them, and he is preparing to take them across to the other side. And the most important thing, I think, in this whole event of the crossing of the Jordan was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was to be carried by the Levitical priest. They were not to touch it. It was to be a symbol of the presence of God. And God said when the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant was built, I will meet you there. There where the cherubim with their wings fold mercy, slab of gold on top of the mercy seat. Inside were the Ten Commandments, the rod that budded that belonged to Aaron, and the pot of manna that they had eaten from for those 40 years was inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, I want you to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And all of the tribes, 12 tribes, they were selected by God or by Joshua, one man to represent each tribe. And they were to lead their tribe through this ordeal. And he said, when the feet of the priest hit the water, then you keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. And until that day, by faith, they moved, got ready. And when the priest's feet hit the water, something miraculously happened. We talked about it last week. The multitudes we've talked about, maybe 2 million Jews. The miraculous, God did something greatly beyond the norm. When their feet hit the water, all of a sudden the waters began to congeal backwards and form a wall. It went up to the city of Adam or Saritan one way. Went all the way down to the Dead Sea the other way. Scholars say it was a 25-mile distance. I'm not sure about that. And then the riverbed dried up. Those priests went in the middle of the Jordan River, and everybody else was to follow suit and to go across. And I like it when it says clean to the other side. Clean to the other side. And they were clean over. And when they were clean over, something unusual was about to happen. Before the waters come back down, God's telling Joshua to do something else. I read with you today in Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the tribe, out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, sort of like he did when they were getting ready to go across. And command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And you'll find out in verse 19 and 20, that'll be Gilgal, several miles from where they crossed over will be a place of great importance in the Word of God. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask your fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and passed over. And came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of God, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, and Moses spake, as Moses spake unto them. We'll get back to that last verse 12 in just a few sermons. Father, we need your help today. We thank you, Father, that we can collectively meet together as your children. And I want to thank you again for those who are able to tune in by live stream. A number of our families cannot do that. And so, Lord, we're making available for them a DVD or a CD as quickly as possible so they can stay suit with what we're doing here at the church. Every member is important. Every individual matters not who they are. It matters whether they're a child or an adult. Everybody's somebody in the eyes of God. And Father, we've been ministering to people over these years through Faith Baptist Church. And Lord, been able to touch a lot of lives. And we're thankful for that. And yet, Lord, we must continue. We must continue. We must continue going over the Jordan River, as it were, into Canaan land. And in that land that flowed with milk and honey, there's going to be some battles. And Lord, we do pray the hand of God will be upon us. We do not want to go unless you go with us. We need your presence. We need your power. We need everything that we are supposed to have. And Lord, be honest with you sometimes as your children. I know as a pastor, I don't know how to pray. I just need, Lord, the Holy Ghost of God to take my prayer and bring it before the throne of mercy. And Lord, I'm glad that we have a God who can intercede on this side, the Holy Ghost, for us. We're glad we got a Savior who's interceding in heaven, seated by the right hand of the Father. And we got a Father who cares about us and loved us so much that he bankrupted heaven and sent his only begotten Son down to this old black sin-benighted world and let him pay a price on a cross that we could have forgiveness of our sins if we'd only trust him. Now, Lord, would you bless the message this morning? I give you myself the best way I know how. Rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and through the blood of Calvary, bless, we pray, what we say in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Sometimes it's difficult to remember. I was talking about a while ago, we used to put little notes on the refrigerator. Anybody ever do that? Or sometimes the mama said, tie a string around your finger. It'd be even worse to tie a finger around your string, I guess, but tie a string around your finger and to be able to remember things. My wife and I had a little joke this week. She had a post-it note that's supposed to remind us of something. Then she got the post-it note home, a little yellow piece of paper, and we couldn't find the post note. So we tried to remember the phone number that was on the post note, but couldn't find the post note. And so we're looking everywhere. And eventually, Andy was there with us, and she come out. She was clapping. Said, "Why?" I said, "Mama found the note." "Well, hallelujah. I'm glad she found the note." But sometimes we forget things, and they get stored way back, and we don't always remember the things we ought to remember. You know, there's a scripture, and I'll get to it in just a moment, and Deuteronomy just blows my mind, especially chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Deuteronomy. You know, we remember a lot of things. We remember important dates, like 1776. Remember dates like 1941, Pearl Harbor Day, December the 7th. Remember 9/11, when the tragedy happened in New York and around the world with us being attacked by the enemy of terrorism. And it changed our lives then. And many people began to seek God. And many people began to pray, like you heard it talked about just every day, praying, talking to God, and Bible studies. And I just tuned in before I left the house early this morning and came over and watched the news. And they were talking about Bible studies and prayer and sermons and all the things that we want to talk about. And our president and our vice president and people talking about how essential prayer is. But we're prone to forget when the tragedy passes. And I want us as a church, we're not everybody in the world, but we are a part of the body of Christ. I want us to get to the place where we remember a lot better than we should. You know, it's easy sometimes. We need some memorials. And I believe this year, this date on the calendar of history, especially to us and this generation, is going to be implanted and probably impressed upon us for a long, long time. And if it gets worse, it'll impress it even more. And I think it can become a memorial for us in days ahead. But another generation will come if Jesus tarries is coming, and there is a tendency to forget. I believe God's people have trouble remembering the things they need to remember. So he has set up memorials down through the pages of history. The Passover, for instance, in Exodus 12, you're to do this forever. Why? To remind you that the death angel passed over, and the only people that escaped were those who had the blood applied to the doorposts and the door lintels of their house. He said, "I want you to never, never forget this wonderful event, because people are prone to forget that which has happened in their life, and that's sad." He's given us what we call the Lord's Supper. He says, when you do this in remembrance of me. Why? I need to be reminded when I hold those little elements in my hand and the grape juice to partake of what we call communion, which is a union with the Lord and fellowship with God, to remind us how important at the end the broken body of the Lord Jesus and the blood of Calvary. And so we have the Lord's Supper. We have various memorials that we go through individually in our life. Sometimes even when you're looking for a place to eat, there is a reminder. There's a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket up in the air to remind you, turn in here. Here's where you need to get your chicken. There may be a Cracker Barrel sign. There may, when I was in Moldova years ago, they had an upside down arch. They couldn't have the right side up arch because they weren't McDonald's, so they had an upside down arch. And it was a takeoff of McDonald's, same way, same place, same food. It just was upside down because it was illegal, because there is a patent on the symbol of McDonald's. But I'll tell you what, how many kids know where McDonald's is at? How many kids are seeing that sign regularly and they know exactly where it's at? They know exactly what's on the menu? Why? They're constantly being reminded of certain things that affect our pocketbooks and affect our lives and affect a lot of details that we go through. So the stones here are for a memorial. So let's go back to chapter 4 for just a moment. They're pressing in, getting ready now to go into battle, into combat. Moses is dead, I said a while ago. Joshua is now leading the people. And a few days from combat, they're going to have their first battle with Jericho in the land that is flowing with milk and honey. America is blessed. We have a land flowing with milk and honey. If you don't believe you're blessed, you got your head in the sand. We're probably greater than any nation in the world, been blessed of God more than any nation on planet Earth. I believe because that we were founded with the right principles and based upon the eternal, infallible word of the living God. And that makes a difference. I think when you honor God, He honors you. And I believe God has honored America, but she's turning in the wrong direction. And many of our people do not see the spiritual application. They take the approach, well, whatever will be. It's just always been things, tragedies, heartaches. I see an intensification of what we're seeing now with the virus. And I'm not here to preach about the virus today. I want to just uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do believe that sometimes we see signs all around us. Simultaneously, while the virus is taking place, did you see the earthquake in Utah? Did you see the one in North Carolina that trembled? And the earthquakes around the world, they continue, and other signs. And a great sign is people turning away from God and immorality increasing, as it were, in the days of Sodom. And so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. That wasn't immoral. They were just going through daily life. They were getting married. They were eating their food. They were drinking their Diet Pepsi, whatever they had. They were just going through a normal life. But in the days of Noah, while folks were living a certain lifestyle and just thinking, well, this is where it's going to be, the flood came. And while we as Christians do not need to be deceived nor blinded by the devil and the demons of hell and the forces of darkness to keep us from believing and knowing that on the next event, perhaps on the calendar of God, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're waiting for the trumpet to sound. You want a cure all for virus? Hallelujah. Let Jesus come. That'll solve it immediately. But if not, and we go through the cycle, and whatever it is, and I'm not here to debate who started it and how it got started. I'm just saying God allowed it. So if God allowed it, He's got a purpose for it. And in one moment of time, the whole world was impacted. That's amazing to me. Where's God in all of this? And so the memorials were to be set up. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, it came to pass when the people removed their tents and passed over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as they bear the ark, when they came into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all of the time of harvest. Then the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, as it was beside Saratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, the Dead Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over night right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground and in the midst of Jordan, and all of Israel, the Israelites, passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Then we get chapter 4. And so Joshua is commanded by God to do something. And that was to set up some memorials. There was two of them. There was one that the men who represented each tribe was to go back into the middle of the river, in the riverbed that was still dry, and get a stone and put it on the shoulder. This was not a little pebble. Matter of fact, I think it took strong men to carry the stones. I'll get back to that in just a minute. We need some strong men who will carry that which God says to do into all the world, to set up a memorial that God is real. And these men went down, picked it up, and put it on the shoulder. And if I'm not mistaken, it's several miles over to Gilgal. And they were to carry it over to Gilgal, as you'll see in the latter some more verses. And that would be a sort of a home base as they begin their conflict and going across the Jordan, going into the fight to the Jericho people. So these men carried the stones, 12 of them, to set up a memorial at Gilgal, at the place of lodging, it's called. And then he said, on down in this verse, this passage, in Joshua, verse 9, and Joshua had 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood, and they are there unto this day. Now, you go back to the question, verse 6. Why the memorials? That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? My question today, and I have two questions, and I may not get to the second one, but the first one. Who was this memorial for? Now the scriptures tell us, look at verse 6, that your children and their fathers in times to come. Not just the ones who crossed over. Not just the ones that experienced the great miraculous demonstration of God's power. But who was the memorial for? I start with the word fathers. It was for the fathers. And how important it is, this serves as a sign among you. I want it to catch your attention when you see it. I want next generation, when they see this memorial, I do not know how big it was. I don't know how elaborate it was. I don't know how it was constructed. I just know that it was built at the command of God through Joshua. And it was a reminder to Israel of a great act that God had done. Was it not a great miracle for God to open up the Jordan River like he did the Red Sea? He got the whole world in the palm of his hand. And when God speaks, it speaks. And when God says something, it happens. And God can do anything in a moment of time. And as he does that, it's a miraculous event. It sets aside not the laws of nature, but the law of God. And God can take his law and change it anytime he wants to, any place he wants to, with any people he wants to, and with you and with me. I simply submit to you today, God has given memorials over and over again. I think about baptism. I mentioned the Lord's Supper a while ago. You know, every time you baptize somebody, it's not just to say, well, you got baptized. Yeah, baptism is a very important part of Bible doctrine. Yeah. We sometimes sort of put it like a afterthought. Well, if you want to get baptized someday, someplace, when if it's convenient for you, you ought to get baptized as soon as possible after getting saved. Amen. As a matter of fact, the book of Acts, they did the same night. Yep. They had to go through a training period and had to put them on probation. And I'm not here saying that's right or wrong. Some churches make you go through 6 months of probation before they baptize you. In the book of Acts, the Philippian jailer, they got right with God, got baptized that night. And the man of Ethiopia, when he got saved, there with Philip, he said, what doth hinder me from being baptized? How do you know that? Well, I'm sure Philip must have told him. He's supposed to be baptized. He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And they got down out of the chariot and went down and got him baptized there in the desert. It's an important part of a Christian's life. Why? Because it is the first act of obedience that a person can have. And God set it up as a memorial. He himself did it. To be baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. And John the Baptist, who was said he was unworthy to even unlatch the shoes of the Lord Jesus Christ, his master, he said, Jesus said, John, suffer it or allow it to be so. And John took Jesus down in the Jordan River, and Jesus was baptized. I believe he was immersed and completely covered by water, because that's what baptizo means, immersed in water as a symbol. And at that point in time, when Jesus come up out of the Jordan River, the Holy Ghost of God in the form of a dove came and lit on his shoulder, symbolizing the power of God that Jesus would need in his earthly ministry and getting ready to go in the greatest temptation that he'd ever faced, perhaps outside of Calvary. Those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. I believe when you get baptized, you have more of the power of God on your life. I believe when you obey God. Why? He gave it as a symbol. So when I baptize some folks, and I baptize a lot of people over the years, as others have, when they stand in the water, you were talking about being on the cross, going under the water, you're buried, and coming out of the water is resurrection. And I believe that it's important. You've heard me say this time and time again. If you're not going to do anything for Jesus, just get you baptized, take a ball bat, hit you, and send you to heaven. He didn't leave you here just to get baptized. He wants you to serve him. But it is a reminder of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. What's big about that? That's the gospel. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And God has a gospel. That's good news. What's the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ burst the citadels of death, hell, and the grave, rose from the dead, is alive forevermore, and can save any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any place, any time they say and cry out, Jesus can save them. That's good news. And boy, on this occasion, don't you just rejoice there's some good news? With all the bad news, boy, you can get depressed watching the news. My soul. A lot of folks just say, turn your television off. It can get mighty depressing. And we want to keep up with what's happening, but we know more about corona. I never heard of coronavirus. I'm sort of naive about a lot of things. I hadn't heard a lot of things. Maybe I forgot them as I got older. Maybe I heard them when I was a kid. Dr. Howell says he's forgetting things he never knew before. And that's an amazing thought. Wow. But anyhow, it's still the great news, the good news, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, fathers, don't you forget it. Your spiritual birthday. I don't remember the calendar date. You may. But I like that old song we sing sometime. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. Then everybody was saved on Sunday can stand up. And then you come down to Monday, you can start on Monday and end with Sunday. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. And then we say, it must have been the hand of the Lord. Maybe it was Tuesday. Maybe it was Wednesday. Maybe it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You say, preacher, I don't know what day it was, but I know there was a time. Yeah. And you take me to the place where God saved me by his marvelous grace. Yeah. I may not know how he did it. I may not know the exact calendar date nor the time on the clock, but I know he did because I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. There ought to be a spiritual birthday. I recommend to anybody who gets saved, write it down in your Bible. What a wonderful thought to go back. I was saved on this particular day in a certain year of my life. You may not be able to do that, but you can look back to a point as a memorial of something that happened in your life. My brother pastors at Cranberry Baptist Church, and they're having service as we're having service today. And I appreciate my brother and his labor of love there. But my daddy pastored that church for 7 years. Back years ago, an old coal mining community. It was called Cranberry Community Church. And Dad, for 7 years, pastored that church. Sitting on the front row of the Cranberry Baptist Church, I heard the gospel from my dad. And as a young boy, I'd heard the gospel many times. I went forward that day. I got on my knees the best way I knew how. Didn't know any big words then, Brother Wes. I didn't know what the word justification meant. I didn't know what the word redemption meant. I didn't know what the word atonement meant. I didn't know what the word propitiation meant. I didn't know a lot of them big words. Still don't know them too well. But I tell you one thing. I knew God loved me. Jesus died for me. And I could trust him as my personal Savior. And I tried to go back over the years. I preached there many times. And go back to the place close as I could. Back in the old church. When and rub the devil's nose in it every once in a while. And things have changed. I told Roger, where's it at now with all the building you've done and remodeling? Well, somewhere in that old building and that entire complex, there was a place that's dear to my heart where God kissed away my sins, penned my name in the book of life, and gave me the greatest thing in all the world, and that's salvation through the blood of his son. I don't want to ever get over what God's done at Calvary. And so he sets up a memorial just to remind me, because I have a tendency to take God for granted. Do you? Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6 very quickly, and let's read a passage there. That's very familiar to many folks, but it's a memorial. Hear, O Israel, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, which thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. Here it is. Lest thou forget the Lord. I'm enjoying blessings that I did not dig out. I'm enjoying blessing by standing on the shoulders of other folks. I made a point a long time ago, trying not to get over some folks who impacted my life when I was a kid. I want to remember those who said something, did something, who were precious in my life. It's easy to forget even people that blessed you over the years. But America, to some degree, has forgotten the Lord. Could it be? at the Lord one more time in His loving favor, His loving grace says, remember me. Remember me. Fathers, listen to me, Father. If you're tuned in by live stream or you're in this room today, we as fathers have a mandate from the God of heaven to be right with God and to be sure our children know the truth about the blessed Word of God and what God wants us to know. When they go to bed at night, when they get up in the morning, when they go us by the way, when they eat, when they sleep, when they walk out in the yard, it doesn't matter. God says, teach them diligently. Yeah. Why? Because the day will come when they may forget God. Isn't it sad that He gives that warning several times? Beware lest you forget God. So the adults were ones that were told to remember this. And the children, He said, and when your children, you're going across now, you went across now. And when your children wonder what these stones meant, you can tell them what happened at the Jordan River. Teach your children. Sometimes they have no concept of history. They have no concept of what's happened in the past. You know what preachers are supposed to do? One thing they are supposed to do is this, is to remind you of what you already know. Preacher gets up and says, God loves you. You're right here, fella. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I just reminded you. You know it. But a prophet or a preacher or a pastor is to study each week, get up and remind people what usually they already know, especially those who are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know a lot. Now, there may be a truth that may be illuminated and may explain better, but much of what we get to amens on, thank God for Calvary.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
You guys know that. But isn't it good to say amen?
Amen?
Isn't it good to say hallelujah? Isn't it good to say praise the Lord?
Amen.
And sometimes when you're a little down, you're going through frustrations, just to be reminded everything's all right in my Father's house. Memory plays an important role in our society. We forget so easily. I'll talk about it later in a sermon I prepared several months ago on the DOD Declaration of Independence, DOI, I guess it'd be, Declaration of Independence, and those men who signed that document. Boy, what a thought. I think, 55 men who signed the document of Declaration of Independence. There needs to be a declaration of dependence on God today among His people. Without a memory, so said D.A. Carson, a person loses their identity. You ever seen anybody with dementia? We went through that in our family. How about yours? Without a memory, a person loses their identity. And without history to sustain a society, and the world around it becomes a virtual phantom, just something out there in la-la land. Any society that hopes to endure must become, as a sociologist put it, a community of memory and hope. I want us today to take the memorial stones of Joshua's day and say, by the grace of God, I want us to remember and not to forget, not to be like half the world or most of the world. And by the way, a lot of the world don't even know the truth. They're in heathen darkness. I witnessed to a man this week. He was a Hindu. And I met him for the first time by just walking into a store. Nobody was there except me and him. I said, what's your religious background? He says, I'm Hindu. I said, I'm Baptist. I said, but my Baptist don't get me to heaven. Does your Hindu? And he said, here's what I believe. Preacher, very nice guy. He says, I treat people right, and I'm going to be good. I want to be a good Hindu. And I believe if I do enough good deeds, I'll be able to go. He said, I don't really believe in heaven, don't really believe in hell, but I'm a good man. He smiled at me. I said, you know, good men can be good and thankful for that. But that don't get you to heaven. You've got to come God's way. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. And bad people don't go to hell. Unsaved people go to hell. They may be bad, but there's degrees of badness and there's degrees of goodness. But I don't want us to forget God in these days. And so with this occasion, that's a little awkward for me preaching, but I'm glad for the few folks that are here today. And for you that have tuned in, and God knows that's where you ought to be, there with your family worshiping the Lord. And may it become a time you can re-emphasize Deuteronomy 6. You're going to have a little bit of time on your hands, some of you, a lot more than you used to have. And so maybe it's a time to lay down Facebook and get in His book. And maybe it's a time that we turn off the television and tune our frequency to the God of heaven a little more. We're all guilty. Many of us are guilty in this room. Let's just be honest. We're guilty. And if it's not that, it's some hobby or something else that distracts us from our God-given responsibility. And I'll talk later about what should you be thankful for. There's two things that are found in this passage that I believe is good that you are to thank God for. The hard times and the hallelujah times. And I want to amplify that a little bit, maybe in a sermon to come. But I trust today that God will help us to have a great day and a great tomorrow, a great time in the midst of our tears and fears and anxieties. Christ is all in all. And when I have Christ, I have the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in my body and in your body. If you happen to tune in today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, would you realize your need today? It may be a member of a family, maybe somebody accidentally tuned in, or maybe just looking for something to listen to today. And you hear the voice of this preacher. It is not my voice that really matters, but it's the voice of God. And if you're convicted of your sins and you realize your need, why don't you bow your head and ask Christ to be your Savior? Or maybe you've been one of those who drifted away and you're cold and indifferent. This could be a time that God is calling you back to rededication. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to pray with you. Don't hesitate to call or text the church or whatever, voicemail, whatever you can do. We'd love to talk with you. But you can bow your head and pray with us. Or as we bow our heads here in the auditorium, would you bow your heads there? And all of you, if you could, at home in the presence of God. Father, help us to remember what we should remember. I know there's some things we need to forget. Lord, to forget some of the sins and the things that we did and some of the crazy things that maybe we wish we hadn't never done. But Lord, we have a memory, and that memory will be with us until the day we enter into heaven. And Lord, I know the devil can bring up the past and use it against us. We're glad our sins are covered by the blood. And Father, I pray that you'll help us all just to say, by the grace of God, we're going to be right and do right and live right and serve the Lord. Lord, thank you for the memorial, the stones. What meaneth these stones? What meaneth the memorials that have even been set up in this generation? The cross, Lord, church buildings, the books that have been written that are fundamental, the Bible that's been printed, crosses around the world, which is the Word of God. Each page should remind us about God. And Lord, if we've forgotten you, would you forgive us? And Lord, would you show us our need today that we rededicate our lives? And Father, we'll thank you for it. Answer our prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake.